Off the Ball.
GAA.
It all depends on fitness, and it's a lot with the club. You know, Brian Stack is like the master key. He can do a lot of jobs there, and if he's out, you know, there's a lot of fires to put out as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll hear from the Leinster duo, Tyler Blaindall and Joe McCarthy, after Leo Cullen's side last gasp win over Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle on Saturday. Alan Quillen says that Munster were harshly treated by the referee against Toulon, and Ireland head coach Scott Beamond welcomes back two key players ahead of the upcoming Six Nations in the spring. But first today, Leinster have been boosted by the news that four key players will be available for selection for Saturday's Champions Cup clash away to Bayonne, which you'll be able to hear live and exclusive commentary on News Talk from 3:15. Gary Ringrose, Orgie Sneeman, Tyke Furlong and Jimmy O'Brien missed the last gasp 25-24 win over La Rochelle, but the quartet have all resumed full training and will bolster head coach Leo Cullen's options for the Pool 3 clash. The fitness of Andrew Porter will continue to be monitored. The prop picked up a calf injury in training last week, and it was feared he could be a doubt for the Six Nations, but Leinster say his progress will be monitored during the week. Kieran Frawley is hoping to shake off a foot injury picked up in the win over La Rochelle, while prop Paddy McCarthy, replaced early in the second half last week, has a significant foot injury, with the decision on his participation to come later in the week. Leinster are 3 points clear of Harlequins in Pool 3 and can secure at least a top four seeding with a victory in France. Joe McCarthy was pivotal to Leinster's win on Saturday night, and he says that he felt super confident that Harry Byrne would come up clutch against La Rochelle.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was so good. I think everyone felt very confident in standing over the kick. And serious balls and just to knock it over. So I think it was a great moment for him and the team was very buzzed.
Attack coach Tyler Blaindall says that he was delighted that Byrne had the confidence to knock it over.
Yeah, I think he's just with his goal kicking in general, he's striking the ball really well, and he obviously kicked the goal previous to that, struck it well, maybe hit the post, but it's just great. I think shows his character as well. He's willing to step up, and it's a great opportunity for a kicker. It can be seen as a lot of pressure, but I thought he just saw the opportunity and he backed himself, and we're all just so happy for him. It was a massive moment for our team, and it's great that he delivered.
And on Monday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, former Munster and Ireland back row Alan Quinlan said that the decision that Byrne took to take the kick despite Sam Prendergast still being on the pitch was a positive one.
What's Harry Byrne doing to Sam Prendergast at the moment? Because that was quite the scene, I suppose, in a way, in that Harry Byrne takes the ball and very confidently wins the game for Leinster. And I was just thinking about, I wonder what Sam Prendergast's mindset is this morning, because he still did a job at full back. His team won the match. He played his part, but that must linger, something like that.
You want someone to be dominant there. It's like a penalty kick, and you have a couple of players in soccer that, thankfully, there was no debate about it or no arguing about it. Harry Byrne, it brings a little bit of pressure on there when you have that dominance, because if you miss it, it's a problem. But he obviously kicked it and had the confidence to do that. And coaches have to let people sort that out. We've seen so much petulance in soccer over the years when players argue about who's taking the penalty, and then it can cause a problem with morale. Sam Prendergast takes it on the chin very quickly, and just that spur of the moment decision is, I want to take it, and I know I'm going to get it, and so I don't think it's a big issue at all.
There will be more French opposition for Leinster this weekend as they travel to take on Bayonne. Blaindall says that these types of clashes make the tournament what it is.
Yeah, it's just a very tough competition, and teams are selecting, they make their own selections for the teams, whether it's home or away or who they're going to send where, but it's just that it's a great competition, and it requires you to give it your full attention and full preparation. I thought you could look at some of La Rochelle's form throughout their top 14 season, but we always knew they were going to come and absolutely give everything. We've had some great battles with them in the recent past, so... there were some great games. I managed to catch a few glimpses of them, of the other matches over the weekend. So just really exciting for the competition. And I think now coming into the last round, it's going to be all to play for, and teams are trying to get in the playoffs or to increase their seedings in the playoffs. So it's going to be exciting last weekend.
Leinster have suffered more injury woes to their front row. Blaindall says while it is unfortunate, it is a next man up mentality.
Yeah, obviously Paddy's didn't look too great for him to come off immediately. So hopefully we get some clarity on that in the next few days. But yeah, I mean, we're hoping for the best, but it really didn't look too great, to be honest. And Port's the same, like to come out late in the week with that injury, and again, waiting for the official kind of diagnosis, but it didn't look promising that it was going to be a quick turnaround. So look, we're going to have to dig in, as I just mentioned, as next man up, and we're going to have to, you know, find a way. I thought the guys on the weekend did a great job, and Jerry came on, he put his best foot forward, and we're going to have to just dig deep into the depth, and we've got some guys coming back as well. So we lose some, we get some, and whoever's available, they're just going to have to do the best.
And remember, you'd be able to hear live commentary of that game this Saturday on Off the Ball from 3:15. Munster's latest bid to record another stunning Champions Cup upset fell agonisingly short as Toulon edged a thrilling Pool 2 clash that burst into life in the second half. After going ahead with 7 minutes to play, the visitors were harshly penalised and Toulon fullback Marius Domon kicked the winning score. The French side applied late pressure as they searched for a try bonus point, but the Munster defence held firm to ensure that they left with the consolation of a losing bonus point. It was perhaps a debatable penny decision that Munster were on the wrong end of on Sunday afternoon, and Alan Quinlan called it a ridiculous penalty.
Yesterday, Munster lose to Toulon late on. Can you explain the rationale behind the penalty decision?
The penalty that Toulon kicked
to win the game.
Well, the rationale is the referee, he's not cynically penalising Munster that they lose the game. So he has his rationale and he's thinking in his head that Tom Farrell and Jack O'Donoghue have taken the space at the breakdown, at the wrong side of the breakdown. But it's a ridiculous penalty, to be honest. And it's one that shouldn't have been given. There was nothing wrong with what either of the three Munster players did. Well, Jack O'Donoghue was a tackle away from the side. Tom Farrell, who was involved in the tackle, let go. Nothing he could do where he was standing.
What's he supposed to do? According to the referee, what's he supposed? Because there's
nothing he can do there, Jerry. He's involved in the holding the player up, and the tackle player goes to the ground. He's got a release, and I don't know what he's really does there, or what he can do. You were having a look at it there again. It's not a penalty, to be honest. But I think from the where the ref is standing, maybe he thinks that Tom Farrell is trying to block off the cleaner. They're totally exposed there. They don't have enough people in there, and Ty Byrne legitimately takes the ball. It's a really, really big call to decide a game, and it's the wrong call, in my opinion.
So the ref honestly thought that Farrell...
Yeah, he thinks that. He's not
of course,
doing it.
But it's clearly not going to help, though, in that instance.
Well, you can't get help from a team once you make a decision like that and say... Unless he looks up at the screen and says, I got it wrong and it shouldn't be a penalty. You don't really see that from referees unless it's a knock-on situation where it's a scrum one way or the other, or a line-out, the ball touched someone going into a line-out. But it was the wrong call. But
was the Ty Byrne yellow card a yellow card as well? Was that?
I don't think so.
And remember, you can tune in to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. And if you don't want to miss a single second of our coverage, you can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Dorothy Wall and Aaron King have returned to the Irish camp, with head coach Scott Beaman naming a 37-player squad for a 3-day training camp as preparations ramp up for April's Women's Six Nations. The duo underwent surgery last April for knee and Achilles tendon injuries, and as a result missed the side's 2025 Rugby World Cup campaign. They are included in the Dublin camp alongside 10 uncapped players, with a squad meeting at the IRFU High Performance Centre on Monday. Forwards Beth Buttimer, Cara McLean, Jemima Adams-Verling, India Daly, Rosie Searle and Sophie Barrett are all named in the panel, while uncapped backs Alana McInerney, Katrina Finn, Niamh Gallagher and Robin O'Connor have all recently impressed in the Celtic Challenge. Alan O'Connor, the former Ulster second row, has joined the coaching team of Beamond, James Scaisbrook, Garrett Steenson and Dennis Fogarty as forwards coach. Ireland's Six Nations campaign begins against England at Twickenham on the 11th of April before hosting Italy at the Dexcom Stadium in Galway a week later. The newly renovated home of Connacht Rugby, which officially opens later this month, will play host to its first women's Six Nations match, with the Ireland women's only previous appearance in Galway being a 15-8 victory over Canada in April 2006. Scotland fly half Adam Hastings will join Montpellier from Glasgow Warriors at the end of the season. The 29-year-old son of Scotland great Gavin has made 81 Warriors appearances to date across two spells. He also was featured for Bath and Gloucester. In 34 senior international appearances, Hastings has contributed 152 points. Glasgow continue their Champions Cup campaign at home to Saracens on Saturday, and Scotland opened the Six Nations Championship way to Italy on the 7th of February after two further Warriors matches. Newcastle Red Bulls have signed back row forward Sam Graham from Northampton Saints in a two-year contract from next season onwards. Graham is in his fourth season with Northampton, helping them win the Prem title in 2024 after joining from Doncaster Knights in the Championship. This season, the back rower has featured in 8 Prem and European games for Saints. He follows teammate Elliot Miller-Mills in making the move to Kingston Park as Newcastle continue to strengthen their squad. As well as the Northampton duo, extra pair Josh Hodge and Rusi Tuima, New Zealand number 8 Hoskins Sotutu and Argentina second row Franco Molina are already signed up to join Newcastle next season. The Red Bulls remain bottom of the Prem but have qualified for the knockout stages of the Challenge Cup with a 100% record.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.